The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Rhode Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. My guest today is Jack Lisitra, founder and principal force behind South Bay Arts, and I quote, a different kind of music teaching practice that fosters inclusion and expression through music. South Bay Arts combines private lessons, kids' concerts, community service, and more to share the transcendent power of music. Jack is an accomplished musician, songwriter, teacher, and mentor, and change agent in his own right, who has performed with some of the most renowned musicians of our day. Welcome, Jack.
How are you guys?
Good to have you here. Very good to have you here, Jack. You know, I'm just going to begin with one of my favorite quotes, which really is that, music begins where words leave off. And one of the reasons why I'm so delighted to have you on the show is that's the very world that you're steeped in and offers such opportunities for the population with whom we are most involved, which are people who are described as neurally diverse. So let's make that the point of departure, Jack. Let's talk a little bit about how music is transcendent and how it could be of use to this population.
So I think you were starting with that first quote, and there's one that I remember. I had an apartment, and my landlord, his father was a jazz piano player, and they had a plaque on their wall for places words cannot reach, music is the soul's own speech. And I remember seeing that when I went to get the apartment, and it always stuck with me, the idea that this language of sound and emotion, it's really, to me, a language of energy of all these, we talk about the neurological system or the nervous system and its responses to stimuli and things like that. And I think music is affecting you in ways that science really doesn't even understand it. You know, it's, I always think back to cave people, and they didn't have to have music. They didn't have to have art. But they, they just needed to run away from dinosaurs and stay warm and feed themselves. But for some reason, they brought into this equation songs and sounds, and they brought in, pictures and art and paintings for self-expression and communication. And, that to me is the power of music, is it has this transcendent quality, and it's not necessarily, you don't need it to eat and you don't need it to stay warm and have shelter, yet societies and civilization have always needed it.
That's such a good point, Jack. Would you agree that it's deeply connected to both emotion, affect, and memory? I think we know that it's not really centered in one specific area of the brain. It kind of, right? So it's really tapping into a lot of neurological activity. So with that as a potential lens to view what's happening here, how does that look with respect to the kids you're working with and what you're doing?
So, right. So we, for me, when I'm working with a client or, a student, and I have a number of students that are, you would say nonverbal in the way that the spectrum manifests for them. I'm a big believer in environment and nonverbal communication. So to the way that I even feel about them, the way my space is set up, it's really important to me. It's funny, the building that my studio is in has fluorescent lights, which I've blocked out just because I feel like even lighting is important to the experience of music and to emotion. And there's something about the environment and the thoughts and feelings that me as the facilitator has towards the person having the musical experience, that it begins with the environment and my feelings and mental attitude towards it. I know that sounds kind of abstract and almost woo-woo sometimes, but it seems to have a powerful, you know, effect on things.
Yeah, I mean, it's esoteric, and you know, I don't know if I describe it as woo-woo. I like the word. But I think the reality is, Jack, I think it's almost necessarily so, because, you know, music in itself can be profound and complex, both in terms of its effect on us and perhaps in our ability to produce it. Although that's something that we should talk a little bit about. You describe on your site the importance of proficiency through participation. What does that mean, and how is that applicable to people who are neurally diverse?
So, you know, one of the things that happens here is some parents of kids who have, you know, a wide ranging of, you know, not just being on the spectrum, but the way that they're affected by it. And we have groups where we, you know, drumming and group singing is a big part of that group. But then another part of it is sharing individually on the microphone. Now, what occurs is, you know, everybody in that group has some specific challenges to overcome in terms, you know, some kids singing on the mic is easy and there's verbal skills, other kids there isn't. So we're still trying to give them a chance to share in front of the group. And I've had kids, and, you know, and when I say kids, I mean adults as well. And I've seen them through the group work come out of a sense of shyness and find a sense of inner pride from being able to share with their peers. And again, going back to the environment, you know, creating that environment and that space. We have a shirt that I give a lot of clients that says, "I am awesome." And it has a symbol of a person putting their hands over their head, you know, straight up in the air. And that was inspired by a TED talk on neuropsychology. And the psychologist was talking about the studies they did on blind people never being able to see that posture when they were in a race or some kind of competitive event and were victorious. They went to a posture that nobody had ever visually modeled for them before. And, you know, that really got me ticking in terms of, wow, you know, what's the potential in using posture and attitude and drumming and singing to create an experience that maybe isn't available yet in other places for these guys.
That is interesting. So if I got that right, they went into a posture that showed victory and self-esteem, even though that wasn't modeled for them visually because they don't have sight. But
right.
Still, they went into that kind of posture, which maybe speaks to something primal about certain experiences in living around success and mastery and accomplishment. And, you know, as you described that, Jack, I think I can see what you mean by a social form in which people are producing music together, kind of playing off each other. Whether or not they have cognitive disabilities, it could lend itself to social skills acquisition, and also the safety of being involved in music rather than the challenges of other more traditional language.
Right, like public speaking, you know, fight or flight, really, you know, like if you have kids in a class and they're waiting to get up and have to read in front of the class, their heart starts beating fast. I think if they know in a group of music that's coming, they get that same experience, you know, the heart, you know, they want to run and, you know, it gets very intimidating and scary. But because it's a group experience and everybody's going through that ordeal the same way, and we're really positive and trying to be as non-threatening. And sometimes I give pointers and tips from dramatic arts, you know, concepts about how to be on a stage or how to share in a group and sort of model that and kind of model enthusiasm for that. I think it lets people, you know, get into these groups and share and be less intimidated by it. And to me, always the reward is watching that smile or watching that, you know, sense of release or expression or surprise of what they do express, and watching, and even if their families are in the room, their families being surprised by what they're able to externalize is always amazing to me.
Yeah, you know, I can imagine, as you were describing it, I certainly can feel a sense of that, how everybody who's involved, who's promoting this and helping kids have a sense of satisfaction, but what that would really mean, of course, for parents and families, you know, to see that growth. You know, we're moving towards a break, but what I wanted to suggest is that when we come back, we look a little more closely at the importance of rhythm, because you mentioned the drums, you mentioned the beating heart, and there's a process of self-regulation that occurs in the production experience of music, and that's been shown to be true in science, and it's something that I think we should spend a little time on. You know, you're listening to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM. My guest is Jack Patricia, and the subject is music and the importance of music as it impacts the lives of people on the spectrum and others. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.